Father, just help us to hear and understand your word. Amen. This is Hebrews 6:13-20. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek.
Thank you, Elise. Oh, it's great to be here, isn't it? I'm just so pleased just to be here, to be able to sing with you all. It's such a privilege, and we do need to remember our dear brothers and sisters across the world who are going through it with other waves of this awful virus. We pray, don't we? We're moved deeply in our hearts as we stand with our brothers and sisters in India and Africa, Myanmar, different nations of the world. But here we are, this small group of people here in the grounds of Longcroft, and we are thankful. I don't know if folks on Zoom heard the time of open prayer. I really hope you did. It was wonderful. And Richard just burst out with thankfulness for the privilege of just being here to be able to worship. And brothers and sisters prayed, and I don't know if you caught it. There was a theme. I was so encouraged. It was stated twice very explicitly that our God does not change. I don't know if you heard that. And Lee went on to pray that amazing in the light of the unchanging nature of our God, that actually he is able to change us. And as we're in the presence of the unchanging, great I am, we are changed from one degree of glory to another. Isn't that wonderful? There's something phenomenal and miraculous going on right now, my friends, as we by faith are in the presence with big capitals, as we by faith behold him, the great unchangeable I am. It says clearly in the scripture in 2 Corinthians at the end of chapter 3 that with unveiled face we by faith behold the one, and we're transformed, we're changed from glory to glory. Now, you may not feel like that's happening all the time. That's okay. We stand on the unchanging word and promises and covenant of God, don't we? Not on our changeable moods, etc. I don't know how you are with change. Can I just put it out there to those I can see in front of me and also all you out on Zoom? How are you with change? I'll just let you mull over that one. The old Greek philosopher Heraclitus apparently once said that change is the only constant in life. I think he had a point. And there's at least some truth to his statement. And what a year it's been. If we just reflect back over these past months, the scope, the scale, the pace, the surprising nature of change has actually traumatized many people. I don't know if you've ever come across Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. She was a Swiss-American psychiatrist. I have, because I'm doing some work with teams where I work on this subject, this pithy subject of change and how we deal with it. And she was the one who came up with the 5 stages of grief. Good job I've got this on. My notes have just blown away. We're live here at the Longcroft and the wind is real. We can feel it on our faces. I love it. I love the unslickness of live worship. It's like real life. It's wonderfully messy, and I love it. We've just got to embrace the change, my friends. This is the thing. So if you like a particular seat, well, God bless you. But sometimes the Lord literally and metaphorically changes things. And here we are, under the canvas, feeling the chill wrap up warm. Seriously, if you need in these few moments to stand up and wiggle your legs to get the circulation going, feel free. Okay. So change. Change is the only constant in life. He did have a point, old Heraclitus. The reality is, from the moment we are born, we are subject to the forces of change, aren't we? We won't go into it. It gets a bit unnerving. Sometimes we think change is for the better. Sometimes we think change is for the worse. Sometimes we embrace it. Sometimes we resist it. We all deal with it in different ways. We all respond. Kubler-Ross came up with these five stages of grief, which have been developed for organizational purposes now and applied when people and teams are trying to deal and cope with the shock and the trauma at times of change like we've all faced in these last months. COVID was no respecter of persons. In the council, we love a consultation period. We love to get the unions involved and everyone have their say. And it goes on for months and months. And then COVID just came in. No consultation whatsoever. And everyone was suddenly working from home, whether they liked it or not. People didn't deal with that change too well initially. Shock, denial, frustration, depression. But you know what? Even in the human sphere, there is a way out. There's a way to navigate the curve of change. And you can emerge up and out into a new place, a place of renewal, where you've adapted and you've gained new skills. And this is all just in the human sphere. And there's something wonderful about it. But you know what? How wonderful, as we've already prayed and sung this morning, that for us as Christians, we would claim a far greater truth than Heraclitus pointed out. We would say, wouldn't we, the Lord, the great unchangeable I am, is the only constant. It's not change that's the only constant. It's the Lord, the great unchanging one. He is our rock. He is unshakable. He is 100% faithful. And he, as we've already prayed this morning, has not once changed in his fundamental nature and character and plan and purpose. Glory, glory, glory to his wonderful name. This is one of the attributes of God. I don't know if you spend any time thinking and studying the attributes of God. I'm just putting it out there. It would be worth doing. Who God is, what God is like, study and think about that wonderful subject. Listen, the immutability, that's the unchanging nature of God, is one of his unshakable attributes. And what's more, brace yourselves, okay? If you had seatbelts, I'd ask you to fasten them right now. And what's more, and this is not comprehensive, but get a load of this. He is eternal, self-existent, omnipresent, which means he's everywhere. Omniscient, which means he knows everything. Omnipotent, which means he's all-powerful, almighty. He's transcendent and immanent, righteous and holy, sovereign, merciful, good and gracious and just. And God is love. Glory, glory to God. This is the God we worship. This is the God we adore. This is the God we can throw our whole selves on in utter trust and reliance. He is the great, unchangeable I am. And this, his character, who he is something worth focusing all our attention on and rejoicing and reveling in. Isn't he wonderful? Oh, glory to God. This gets us right off ourselves onto the wonder of God. And just that act of faith to take our eyes off of ourselves and onto him is liberating. You will find, I guarantee it, my friends, you will find if we're able to do this by his grace, shackles will break away. Habits that seem to have been utterly impossible can be broken. They are melted in the fierce, burning holiness of his glory. And you find you're utterly liberated from the prison of our own self-obsession. And we're lost, as the hymn writer said, in wonder, love, and praise. Oh, glory! Look away! Look up! See him, the great, unchangeable I am. I love being here. Sorry, I'm a little bit over the top, but it's a moment, isn't it? This is a historic moment. We can move. I'm stuck to the screen normally. I'm dying to get up and move off, but that wouldn't be good on Zoom. Oh, praise God. Listen, some proof texts for the immutability. Let's just come back into this one attribute briefly, shall we? For I am the Lord, I do not change. Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Can't get much clearer than that. Numbers 23:19. God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? Question? Oh, glory to God. Don't you love the scripture? And James, Mark's had us in James, hasn't he, of late? What a blessing that's been. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights with who, this is beautiful language, by the way, with who there is no variation or shadow of turning. That shadow due to change. Listen, ordinary heavenly lights produce shadows, but God's light is shadowless. Ordinary lights wax and wane. They shift and move around. They go through phases and fade. Even the sun itself is occasionally eclipsed. And all such lights cast shadows that are both inconstant and fleeting. But not the sun of righteousness. He's shining. Emanating glorious light and life. And there's no shadow, there's no variation because of change. The great, unchangeable I am. Oh, glory. Glory to his wonderful name. Of old you laid the foundations of earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe and they will pass away. But you, listen, it's a theme, isn't it? You are the same and your years have no end. Glory, glory to the one. Hallelujah. In God's unchanging nature, in his immutability lies a great source of comfort for us believers. Have you found that? Have you found that as we're getting old and going a little bit grey, and some of us have recently passed big milestones, I'm not looking at anyone in particular, oh glory, glory to God, there's an inheritance, you know, that's kept by this great unchanging I am. That's reserved in heaven, in eternity for you, that will not fade away. It's not subject to the erosive process of time. No decay. Oh, glory.
glory. We've got this guarantee in us, the hope of glory that was mentioned earlier on. Bless the name of the Lord. And in our fragility and weakness and often tears and heartbreak and great sorrow over the lostness and brokenness of this world, you know, over these past months, I've never been so joyful and I've never been so heartbroken in my little life. I'm just being honest with you. Known heights of joy and fellowship with Jesus I've never known before. And depths of sorrow and anguish over the lostness and brokenness of humanity and the devastating suffering and pain that is going on right now as we speak. But joy and sorrow somehow in this wonderful, messy mystery of life down here on the earth are not incompatible. We know that because of Jesus, anointed with joy above all his companions and the man of sorrows acquainted with grief. So somehow in this world of change, phenomenal change, embrace the Christ afresh, the great unchangeable I am. We've nearly come to our time and I haven't even gone to Hebrews 6. Thank you ever so much for reading it. It's a relevant scripture. I'm going to close in a few minutes. We're going to go slightly over. Is that okay? I think the kids are going to survive. Oh, bless the Lord. I'm so thrilled. I'll probably talk about this some more at some other time. The fact that God does not change his mind, his character, his plan or anything else is a security better than any earthly insurance, for it guarantees to us the quality of God's character and gives us a deep, deep down sense of assurance. To the one who's placed their trust in Jesus comes in this great, deep, deep soul rest. All is well because I am in the hands of the unchanging one. The one who in Hebrews 13:8 says is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we will come back to this passage at another time. But I just want to close by drawing out the fact that in what we read, what was read for us, it says the word immutability a number of times. There's the link. That was a great intro, wasn't it? And the time has pretty much gone. But listen, the point of the passage is that God is the great unchangeable I am. But you know what? And this is the beauty of the thing. In that passage, what he's doing is something so phenomenal. So please don't misunderstand me, but such a condescension, a coming down to us in order, can I put it like this, to persuade and convince and assure us, the people of God, in that passage described as the heirs of promise, the unchanging nature of his purpose in Christ. And it says, it explains it really well. I'd encourage you to read it again at home. But it's the biggest belt and braces passage I've ever come across. God's word is unchanging and absolutely trustworthy. If he says something, nothing else needs to be done. But in that passage, I'm absolutely blown away by it. In that passage, it says that God, whose word is utterly watertight, in order to persuade us, he swears by himself. So it says that by two utterly unchangeable things, his word and his oath. Totally unnecessary. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but in a sense, totally unnecessary. But his word is, surely that's good enough. If God says something, it's absolutely solid, unchangeable, unshakable. But in order to be graciously, powerfully persuasive, he swears by himself. And you can read all about that in Genesis. It's absolutely remarkable. And then it goes into hope, doesn't it? And again, the belt and braces, it says sure and steadfast. Well, can I just ask you, if something is sure, isn't that enough? But in the scripture here, it's sure and steadfast. There's the belt and there's the braces again. Glory to his name. What's the point to persuade us, to convince us, to overwhelm us with assurance and security that you are safe in his hands? Are you hearing this? Oh, glory to his name. And as Lee prayed, and I want to just close here. We've gone slightly off piece, to be fair, but that's okay. I want to close with this. Listen. The great, unchangeable I am, and this is a bit of a head spinner, changed in status and location and form. He went from the inexpressible glory and perfections of the pre-existent Christ and became flesh. What a change. What a change. It's an absolute mind-blowing, head-spinning, scandalous change on God's part. The great unchangeable I am for you and for me. Let's go of absolutely everything. At the same time, my friends, remains utterly unchanged in character and nature and purpose. Oh, glory to his name. He came for us. The great unchangeable I am came for us. And we're going to close with this response to the Lord. Just amazing. Einstein said, I must be willing to give up what I am in order to become what I will be. I want to change Einstein's quote with a bit of respect. And ask you this question. Are we willing to give up what we are in order to become what he wants us to be? Are we willing to give up what we are in order to become what he wants us to be? Because the great unchangeable one has the most phenomenal power to change us. I'm fed up with the devil lying over people's lives and selling them this one right down the river and essentially saying you cannot change. I hate the lie. And in the light of the risen, glorious, great, unchangeable I am, I exhort you. Are you willing, my friend, wherever you are, to let go of who you are? So that you may become what he wants you to be. It's a great exchange. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Let's pray, shall we? I know we've gone slightly over. Thank you for being gracious. Oh, Father, we're in the presence of majesty, omnipotence, omniscience. And we worship you. Oh Lord, amazed again that we're utterly free in your presence. Free to be holy. Not because of our efforts and our strivings, because of your great holiness. Oh, glory to you. We worship you, the great unchangeable I am. We bless you for who you are and all your attributes. We give you glory. And we pray that in your presence in these days, Lord, you would utterly transform us, not just for our own good, though we thank you for that, but primarily for your glory and also for your great unchanging purpose to march on triumphantly and for others to be brought in. We ask this, Father, in the wonderful and powerful name of Jesus, whom we worship. Amen.